So if you got your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 150, the 150th Psalm. And I'll just give you some easy directions on how to get there. Just go to the book of Proverbs and go back one page, and you'll be at the last Psalm, which is a dramatic climax of all the rest of the 149 Psalms, where the theme and the subject matter of praising the Lord is brought on full display. Now, we're doing something a little fun as we're going through this. I was actually quite surprised. Oh, me of little faith, right? I was quite surprised at how quick our church caught on to this. But what we want to do in this is every time I say, praise the Lord, you praise the Lord. And every time you hear me say hallelujah, I want you to say hallelujah. Amen. It's just a little fun, interactive way. In fact, it'll just probably keep you awake. Amen. And get your mind off the buffet that you're going to go partake of afterwards. Amen. But you know you got scripture for that. Paul said, I buffet my body. Amen. Praise God. I've been doing that for many different years. Amen. And you see the fruit of it now. Praise God. Psalm 150. This is a new series that I started last week called Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
There you go. You're doing well. And this is the kickoff psalm that I want us to look at. David says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Turn to your neighbor and say, are you breathing today? Well, if you've got breath in your lungs, what does this Bible say? Praise the Lord. Amen. That means that if you're breathing, if your heart's beating, your job is to praise the Lord. Amen. And so what we're looking at here is not just this statement from the idea of understanding necessarily what it means. My heart is that we become greater praisers than we've ever been before. Because we are called to this. This isn't just something we're to observe. This is something we are to participate in. That's why I want you that when we see phrases like this, that you actually say it. Because I think too many people, I've been into too many churches where I watch that during the praise service and so forth, that people are just sitting there just kind of being entertained. They're viewing it like it's a concert. And that is not what we're called to do. In fact, you remember I made the point last week that you don't see in the New Testament even an office or a calling for a praise and worship leader, even though that's a pretty prevalent part of the church today, isn't it? And I believe that the reason why you don't see that is because we're all called to lead in praise and worship. That means that we need everybody participating when it comes to the subject of praising the Lord. Amen. So we need to learn from this how to praise so that we can apply it to our life because, as we learned, it is our calling. It is our vocation. In fact, I want us to look at this verse again. It's in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. So you got a New Testament verse here that tells you who you are and what you're called to do. The Apostle Peter says, but you, turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. So you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special, peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what this shows you is, this is what God's done for you. You're chosen, you're royal priesthood, and so forth. But the purpose of this choosing and the grace that He's poured out in your life is so that you may proclaim something. And what is that? It's to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness you were in and into His marvelous light. In fact, there's a great scripture that I'd like to quote from that, Isaiah 43:21. This is the Old Testament prophecy concerning this. The Lord said, "This people I have formed for myself." So He formed you as that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that peculiar people, and so forth. For what purpose? They shall declare my praise. So we've got two scriptures here that basically show us that the reason for your existence, the reason why Jesus died for you, is not just so that you can be a good moral person, and so that you can go to church, and so that you can give in the offering and do different things like that. Those are all parts of it. But we are called to do more than that. We are called to be the ones that declare His praises. Amen. And that doesn't mean that you have to have the best voice, instrumental abilities. You don't have to be any of those things to fulfill this call. Praising is actually a very simple thing. And it's not having necessarily the right words. Amen. It can be something as simple as the way you talk about your kids. The way you praise your grandkids. Amen. I've hung around some of you before and I've heard you talk about your motorcycle or your job or your kids or your wife or whatever. And really what we're doing is a lot of times we're praising that person or that thing. So that's something that we need to see as this is something that's pretty simple. It's not something that's very complicated. We can praise God at all times. Now, we're looking at this from the standpoint of being, having this as a vocation and this is our job. Amen? So our job is, our full-time job is praising the Lord. Now, I want to pick up from this and look at something that's very interesting about how to be a good employee. Amen. How to be a good employee. Actually, I texted a couple of people that have some employees in this place, and I said, you probably want to invite all of them to come tomorrow, because this is not only going to show us how we're employed to praise, it's also going to show how we can be good servants, volunteer servants and employees in whatever place we're in. So if you've got your Bible, let's go over to Colossians chapter 3. Did you know that the Bible actually teaches you how to be a good employee? Amen? It does. But it actually addresses a group of people that's a little bit different than what our society is like today. Now, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18, as the Apostle Paul customarily did, he would begin to deal with certain relationships, certain practical things that were going on. A lot of times he would deal with the husband and wives and how they are to relate one to another. He would talk about the fathers and their children and how they should relate to one another. But we see something else here that was actually a bigger part of the church in that day than most people, I think, have realized. And it starts in verse 22. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. He says, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. Now let's stop right there. We're going to look at the next couple of verses after that. But I want you to notice he's addressing a certain demographic of people that was present in this Colossian church. And this wasn't just unique to the church of Colossae. This was actually something that was much more prevalent in the Roman culture that was going on around them. And what you find when you study history is over half of the population, the Gentile population, over half of them during that day was made up of slaves. Over half. That means that this is a pretty large group of people. So what Paul is addressing right here is the slaves that were present within this church. In fact, when he calls them bondservants, the word that's used here, it's doulos, and it literally describes the basest of all servants and slaves that would have been present in that place. Now, I'm thankful that I live in a society and culture today where, at least in our nation, that we are not practicing slavery. Amen? Because I believe that's God's best. That's not the way God has ever designed it. But the fact is, when you look at history, it has been a big part of a lot of cultures and a lot of societies. All right? And in this early church, this was something that was being addressed. So, does this mean that since we don't necessarily have slavery going on in our nation today, does this mean that we just throw out verses like this and say, well, this doesn't really apply to us, this doesn't mean anything because this is not what we have? Not necessarily. What you can do is you can look at the fact that even in their day, if over half the population was slaves, what does that mean? The majority of the workforce in that day was made up of what? Slaves. So this applies to us, certainly. And what does it apply to? Those of us who are employees, or those of us who are volunteer servants in some other capacity. So any of us that have ever worked for anybody or served, maybe it would be in a church, maybe it would be in the secular environment, these words, these pieces of instruction are things that we can glean from and learn how to be better employees and better servants than we already were. Amen? You tracking with me? You following what we're saying? Now, again, we're not looking at this just from the standpoint of how to be a better employee according to the flesh. What are we looking at? How to be better employed to praise. We're going to look at this from the standpoint, we're going to look at it naturally, and then we're going to look at it spiritually and see how it pertains to our praise lives. So the first thing he says is, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now he throws according to the flesh in there because he's talking about you got another master that you really need to be working for, and we're going to see how that applies. But what we're talking about here is even the ones that are flesh and blood that you work for, what are you supposed to be doing? Obeying in all things those masters. Amen. Obey in some things? Nope. Obey in all things. Now, of course, you got to qualify this because this means everything except if somebody ever tries to get you to violate one of God's commandments. Amen. We got a good example of that with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. I call it Meshach, Yoshach, and Abednego. Amen. You know those guys in the Bible? That those guys, they were really good workers. They were really good servants. In fact, they were slaves at that time. And the king had actually told them to do some things that they were like, sorry, we'll do anything else you're going to tell us to do. But they were honoring him even in saying this, but they said, this is one thing we can't do. So if it comes to something that's violating one of God's commands, this is one of the times that you're not supposed to do this. But if it's not pertaining to that, what are you supposed to be doing if you're working for somebody? Obeying in all things. So let me give you a little good piece of advice if you're working for somebody. If your boss tells you, go put the green ball in the blue trash can, specific instructions, then that doesn't mean you go out there after they give you that piece of advice and say, well, I'm pretty sure if he would have thought about it, he would have meant put the yellow ball in the orange trash can, right? And then they try to correct it and make it the way they think it should be, even with a good intention and a good heart to try to make it happen. No, if you're working for somebody, what should you do? Do it the way they told you to do it. Now, that doesn't mean you can't respectfully go to them and say, sir, I know you said to do this, but what do you think about this? And respectfully make a suggestion, but don't just go and do it without asking them first. Amen. Now, a lot of times people ask me and say, Pastor, do you preach on these things because you're talking to specific people in here? No, I do not do that. I'm not preaching to any individual. But if this does paint your picture, it might just be the Holy Ghost trying to help you in some things, trying to get some things to you. Amen. So obeying in all things means whatever they tell you to do, you do it. You be submissive. And this is not a popular word in Christianity, is when you talk about submitting to your authorities and stuff like that. It's something I'm very high on because the Lord taught me on it very early on. And I really learned at a really young spiritual age that how to relate to my secular employer and also my pastor and other things like that. It's just the way God has set things up, and it's just the best way. And that's how you get those raises. That's how you get those promotions. We're going to get into that part here in a moment. But that right there shows you that you got to be obeying in all things. Now, how does this relate to praise? Well, God might have actually told you in His Word how He likes to be praised. Perhaps in the Scriptures, you've got some verses that tell you God's ordained specific way that He desires His people to praise Him. And we're going to find out in the weeks ahead that He absolutely did. Like Shannon brought up some points during the announcements earlier about what it really means to rejoice. It's to jump, it's to spin around, it's to do different things like that. But how many people out there don't do that? Even when they've read scriptures that say it. They don't practice it. They don't do it. Because why? They'll say, well, that's just not my personality. That's just not how I do it. How many of you know you're not going to hold a job very well if your boss comes and tells you, I want something done this way, and you say, well, that's just not my personality. That's not how I do it. You're probably going to be asked to leave pretty soon, right? Because your boss is not concerned how you feel and what you think. Amen. So when it comes to praising the Lord, what becomes important? For me to study to show myself approved so I can find out what is the approved way to praise. And then it doesn't matter how I feel, what I think, or anything like that, I do it the way He wants me to do it. And one of the things you're going to find out as we go into the weeks ahead, we're going to learn that there are some specific things that praise is described as, and you're going to find out it's much more demonstrative than probably you've been doing it. Amen. So if I'm going to be a good servant of the Lord in praise, what am I going to do? I'm going to obey Him in all things. Lord, how do you say to do it? I'm going to do it. I don't care what people think. I don't care how I feel. I am going to praise you the way you desire to be praised because you're worthy of that for all the things you've done for me. So look what he says now. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Now look at this. Not with eye service. Now that's not a word that we use a lot, eye service, but really what it describes is that when it comes to working for your boss, he's basically saying, don't just do a good job when they're watching you. Now why do you think this might need to be said? Because the vast majority of people don't practice things this way. They work really hard when the boss is in the office. When he's watching, when there might be some consequences or when there might be some reward even, in what they're doing. But when the boss is away, the mice will play. That is just the tendency of the flesh to do that. And what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, through Paul, was correcting them on is these guys that are serving others, you need to make sure you're not just doing it while they're watching. Right. Now, so when it comes to praise, how does this apply? Well, it applies like so. You certainly want God to be watching when you're praising Him. Amen, because you're doing it for Him, right? In fact, there's not really anything you can do. I think a lot of people live with the delusion that this isn't true, but there's really nothing you can do, think, or say that the Lord doesn't know. So you're not going to not have your boss present when it comes to this. But just, this is how the Lord showed me that this applies to praise. I think a lot of people praise in a public setting with eye service when it comes to everybody else that's around. I've been there, done that, to see that there's a lot of people that come to church and during praise service, they don't sing. They do not open their mouth wide and they do not sing out loud. And you know why? Because in a lot of cases, they're insecure about their voice. They're worried about what the person to the left of them is going to think. They're going to think the person on the right is judging them for not being able to sing and things like that. So they're quiet because they don't want people to know what their vocal skills are like. How many of you know that's not a good reason not to open your mouth and praise the Lord? In fact, I would tell the person that if that's you and you just don't want to sing out loud because you're insecure about your voice, this church is very free. You see me move around a lot during worship. So what that can show you is, if you want to get away from people to where you don't want necessarily people to know that you can't sing, but you want the Lord to know you can, get out from this pew where you're at and go somewhere in this place where nobody can hear you. You can do that. Amen? But what I found is that a lot of people don't not sing out loud or dance or do other things that are more demonstrative forms of praise. Yeah, they do it because they are self-conscious. They don't want to do it in front of people. They're insecure and stuff like that. But I found that there are other groups of people that do it very freely for the exact opposite reason, which isn't necessarily a good one. They're doing it to be seen by people. Right? Now, this isn't a problem with our church. I'm going to just tell you this right now. It maybe has been before, but we don't have a lot of people that we're probably erring on that side of the coin. We're probably the latter problem of not doing it as much as we can because we're a little bit more self-conscious. Well, that's not a good reason either, is to stand in front of people to be seen of men. This is why the Lord told us that when you pray, and I would include praise in that, do it in your closet, by yourself, with just you and the Lord, because what you do in secret, the Lord will reward openly. And I'm going to promise you something. When the Lord rewards you openly, you'll know it, and people around you will know it. Amen? So that's really, ultimately, the whole idea of eye service, that I'm not doing it to be seen of men, and I'm not doing it because of the fear of man. I'm doing it because it's for an audience of one, and it ain't for you. I used to tell people that, like, because I used to be the one at this church that picked out the songs. When I first came here, I got up and actually led the song service. Aren't you glad for our worship team today? Praise God that we're not in those shoes anymore. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you go. All right. So, but back then I was choosing the songs. And I'd have people come to me and they say, I don't like that song. And you know what I'd say to them? It wasn't for you. You realize the praise service, the worship that we do, is not for you. Now, you can benefit from it. If you do it the right way, there is great reward. Raises and promotions and things like that can come as a result of it. But it is not for you necessarily to be ministered to. That is the part of the service where we're ministering to God. Amen. It's not for me to be recognized. It's not for me to be acknowledged or anything like that. I'm so thankful because I know our worship team, there is none of that going on up there. There's none of this, look at me, I want to be seen, or anything like that. And I'm so thankful for that because that's not necessarily the way it is on all praise teams. You understand that? So thank you guys. But at the same time, I need to realize I'm a part of this praise team and I need to participate with it and I don't need to worry about what people think. Amen? That's why I call it getting ugly for Jesus. Amen. I'm not really concerned about my hair getting messed up, me getting sweaty. I mean, when you hug me afterwards, you just know. I just get like that because I don't care what people think. Long time ago, God delivered me from myself and from you. And it's a wonderful place to be. To be delivered from other people. Not be subject to what people think about me. You know, this is one of the reasons why standing up here, I used to be terrified to stand in front of people like this and speak. I mean, I absolutely hated it. All right? But once I got free, that's why I do certain things now. I look at it in hindsight and I'm like, good Lord, why did I ever do that? That's going to be on the internet somewhere. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's what matters, Him. I'm doing it for His eyes and His eyes alone. As what? Don't do it as men pleasers. All right, what is that? It's basically everything I'm doing is to please another person. Amen. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to be God pleasers, not men pleasers. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today that you please the Lord when you praise Him. This is how you please your employer. Amen. When you don't just show up to work, but you come and do your job well. You know, because when I talk about being a good employee versus a bad employee, I think we've got a lower standard in our workforce than a lot of people might should have. You know what it is? I'm a good employee because why? I came to work today. I'm manning a position. I'm physically present. Well, that's not what makes you a good employee. It starts with coming to work. But what makes you a good employee? By doing your job function in excellence when you're there. I watched a video the other day and saying, whatever you do, do it with the best ability and be the best at whatever you do. And there was this guy that was making popcorn, I think, at a movie theater. And he was throwing that box in and spinning it around and doing all kinds of stuff. It was a performance in terms of making this popcorn for people. Well, do whatever you do with excellence. And when it comes to praise, it isn't just good enough that I show up during the praise service. And I'm man in a position. I'm sitting in a pew. And I'm just watching what's going on. That is not good enough to the Lord. The Lord wants you participating, doing your job well, functioning in your call to praise the Lord, and lifting up your voice. And with all your heart, you start giving Him all the glory. Amen. That. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do that, it's going to change our services. When our church does this, as a majority of the population in here, if we did that, I mean, we might actually see this building shake. We might actually see some of the things we saw in the book of Acts happening with this church today. But it's not going to happen just because, well, God, if you want to do it, you just do it. No, it don't work that way. It works when God's people engage Him. Do their job well. Then the Lord comes in and He starts moving in our midst. And the kingdom of God. God says what? He inhabits the praises of His people. You need more of God in your life? You need more of the kingdom of God coming? Start praising Him. Start doing your job. And let the Lord look at you and say, job well done. He will meet you in that place. Amen. So then he goes on to say, not as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart. So he's, again, talking about how you work for somebody else, you need to be doing it sincerely and out of your heart. Now, what this literally means is to do things genuinely, sincerely, and honestly, void of a self-seeking agenda and why you're doing it. Amen. So it's coming out of your heart. And I like this part right here. Fearing God. Fearing God. Now, when you see that, fearing God, we can sometimes lose the meaning because we think that means to be afraid. You're not necessarily to be afraid of God. Now, if you're living in sin and you're doing all kinds of squirrely, flaky things, you probably should be afraid of God. But when it comes to what he's describing right here, he's talking more about with fear and trembling. In fact, Ephesians, the sister book to this, uses that terminology here, to do it with fear and trembling. Now, I don't think many of us have ever necessarily worked for somebody and we were terrified of our boss and shaking like a leaf and every little thing we're doing for him. I don't think that's what he's describing, though. When you look at what it means to do things with fear and trembling, it means to do things reverently, respectfully, carefully. And I'll give you a great way to illustrate what this means. It'd be kind of like if you were called on to do some very important job function for some dignitary of some sort. Maybe the mayor, maybe even the president, or something like that. Boy, can you imagine? Say somebody asks you to come to this big thing where they're going to be honoring, say, the mayor of Macon. And they asked you to come in and do his introduction. And you've got to stand in front of everybody and say something. Do you reckon that you're going to, do you think you'll just show up to that event without really giving any thought to what you were going to say and just say, well, I'm just going to speak out of my heart today? And whatever. No, you might do that with things that are less important to you. But I guarantee you, if you were asked to do something of that kind of importance, you're going to do it with much fear and trembling. And what this is telling us is this is the way you should be working for your boss all the time, every day. You do things carefully. You do things respectfully. You do things reverently in how you behave. And I'm going to just tell you, this is not growing on trees in our workforce. You understand that. Very few people think that, actually most people think they're doing you a favor by working for you. I showed up. And then they expect, I mean, I remember I was this way. I just expected to get a raise because it was a time to get the raise every year. And I never really considered that. I figured it was owed to me because I hadn't quit within the year. I'm still working. I mean, I've been coming. I deserved a raise, right? No, that's not the way it works in the kingdom of God. I can guarantee you that. The way it works in God's kingdom is, yeah, you show up, but you do your job well. And you do it in the right spirit and in the right heart. Amen? Now look at verse 23. He goes on to give more instructions, and he says, and whatever you do, say that with me, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Amen. What does this mean, heartily? This is really interesting right here. When you look this word heartily up, when it says do it heartily, the word do means to work or to labor. So it's describing how you work for somebody. But the word heartily means out of the soul. Out of the soul. And I think it's interesting that the term soul is what's being used there. Because when you start looking at this from the perspective of praise, what you can learn from this is that God actually wants you to praise Him with your soul. Now, and the reason why I say this is because I think a lot of us have been around in church long enough to say, well, we don't want any of that soul worship. We want it to be in spirit and in truth. And I believe coming out of your spirit is the best way. Absolutely. In fact, you need to know this about your spirit if you're a born-again believer. Your spirit's always praising. Your spirit on the inside of you is like the little John the Baptist baby inside of Elizabeth. You remember that? You remember when John the Baptist was in there and Mary showed up and she's pregnant with Jesus, and when this happens, he starts jumping on the inside. Your spirit's like that. Your spirit's jumping. Is rejoicing, is praising, is doing this constantly. And the only reason why we're not yielding to that is most of the time we're not in the spirit, but in the flesh. But the Lord wants you to love Him with all your soul too. Now, He doesn't want you led by your emotions and only doing things with your own personality. That's not the way you should be driven, but at the same time, He actually wants you to show some emotion. Because why? Whatever you get emotional about is what's in your heart. Did you know that? It's not hard to tell what people are excited about. What's in their heart? It's what they get excited about. Amen. And the Lord wants you to get so excited about Him. Amen. I mean, and the reason why this is a near and dear subject to me is because I remember particularly when I first got saved. Those that are forgiven much love much. And I think we all in here have been forgiven of a lot of things, but I was even bad according to the world. You see what I'm saying? I was a bad sinner. Okay? That didn't mean I didn't do a good job of sinning. I was actually a bad, bad sinner. Right? And so when I got saved and things changed in my life, I was very thankful for what the Lord had done, calling me out of that darkness and bringing me into His marvelous light. So, when praise service would roll around, I'm right up here, right about where Wendell was standing this morning during worship. And I was at the front all the time praising the Lord. And I was so demonstrative, so excited. I used to jump and run in church. I was thankful it was a church where we actually got to run in it. Have y'all ever been in a church during a praise service where people started running around the church? I've seen it happen in such awesome ways. I've run pews before. I've come down on the side of my ankle before where it should have snapped my ankle in two, and I was still running right after that. I've seen the Lord do some supernatural things during this time when it's done in the right way, when it's done what? Heartily. And I used to jump and run so much in church, I tell people I had shin splints. I actually got shin splints, and my calves got huge because all the time during worship, I'm praising God. I'm praising the Lord. And I'm not worried of what people are thinking. And I used to have people that come to me. And they'd come to me and say, Trey, I just love it the way you worship up there. Usually it was elderly people. They say, I love the way you worship up there. It's just, I want to get free like that. I'd love to be able to do those things too. But it would actually help people. So don't underestimate your ability to be a leader during our praise services. How many of you get a little blessed when you're back there during the worship time and you actually see some people up front dancing and jumping and doing different things like that. It blesses a lot of people. I think most people kind of like that, and it should instill in you a confidence to get a little freer yourself. And it might start off with you rocking a little more. Rocking's a big step for some people, right? And then hopefully it gets to the place where you maybe spinning around, lifting your hands. There's a really funny Christian comedian out there named Tim Hawkins, and he goes through all the different ways in which Christians raise their hand. It starts off with holding the baby. And then it moves to this, and then it's touchdown. We need to get some more believers that are saying touchdown and get those arms completely free. Amen? So start where you're at, but do your job well. Do it heartily. Let it come out of your soul. Get excited. Get your heart full of what the Lord's done for you and react accordingly. This is a free church. In fact, I'd be totally cool if one of you were even physically capable of getting up on these here chandeliers and spinning around on them. You know, swinging from the chandeliers. That might be kind of dangerous. But hey, more power to you. Maybe the Lord protects you if you were to fall. Amen. Just get excited about the things of the Lord. Have some freedom in here and let it all come out. So, as to the Lord and not to men. So, how are you doing it? You're praising Him as unto Him and not to men. This reminds me of what David said to his wife, Michal, one time. Now, you know, she was the daughter of King Saul, right? And David had a situation where they went and captured the Ark of the Covenant. And they were going to bring it back into Israel. Now, here's an important point. When you go back and look at it, David got a little upset because they put the ark on a cart. And when the ark started to fall off the cart, a guy tried to grab it, intending to help out things. And the Lord struck the guy dead because he wasn't supposed to do that. Right? So David got a little upset about that and said, you know what? Here's this guy over here, Obed-Edom. And so we're going to let him house the ark, because who am I to bring it in if the Lord's going to do this kind of stuff? So they put the ark at Obed-Edom's house. And guess what the Bible makes sure to tell you is that while the ark was being kept at his house, the Lord blessed him and his house. Now, what is the ark of the covenant? It's the presence of the Lord. That's why they would take the ark and take the ark before them when they'd go into battle, because it's like taking the Lord's presence in with them. And what did we just find out? The Lord inhabits the praises of His people. So how are you going to get that spiritual ark of the covenant going before you in your life to give you victory? Praising the Lord. Amen. So this happens, but then David, when he sees that the Lord's blessing Obed-Edom, God's not killing people there, He's blessing them. He's like, all right, I want this ark to come into Israel, into Jerusalem. So he starts leading the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And David's heart, as it always was, the man after God's own heart, was so excited about God and excited about what was happening, he unclothed himself. He took some of his royal, dignified clothing off, and he threw it down, and he started dancing before the Lord with all His might. In other words, he got ugly for Jesus on that day. Amen. And he's coming in praising God. And his wife had a little bit of a problem with it. Just like some people might have problems with you if you start getting a little more demonstrative in praising God. And they might say something, but look, I'm going to show you how God views it. He comes in and Michal looks at him and says, oh, how dignified was the king in unclothing himself before all his people today. And I love what David said to her. Now, I wouldn't propose any of you men talk to your wife this way usually. It might not always have this fruit, but in this case, it was actually the right thing to do. He looked at her and said, it was before the Lord that I did this. And then he made another powerful statement. He said, and woman, don't call your wife woman, woman, I will become even more undignified than this. In other words, let me put this in Trey's translation, the TT version. You ready for it? Wait, all right, I'm going to regret saying that. The TT version says what? Woman, It was for God and not for you. And guess what? You thought that was something. You ain't seen nothing yet. You thought I got ugly today. I'm going to get a whole lot uglier for the Lord. And the Lord commends that. In the Bible, you know what it says happened after that? From that day forward, Michael never bore any more children. Why is that in the Bible? It's to show you that if you're one that's criticizing how other people express their heart to the Lord in worship, it can make you unfruitful. The Lord loves it when His people let it all hang out and worship Him. Amen. So whatever you do, however you praise Him, when you lift your hands, when you lift your voice, when you do all these different things, how are you supposed to do it? Out of the soul. Let it come out of the soul. As to the Lord and not to man. And look at verse 24. Knowing! So this is one of the reasons why you serve your boss out there this way and your boss up there this way. Because you know something. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, and look at the parallel verse here, because I like the way he says it a little bit better. In Ephesians 6, 8, he says, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. You know what's so awesome about that? Whether he's a slave or free. What does that mean? Your natural physical situation is not what dictates how blessed you are. Did you hear what I said there? People think because, oh, they're not recognizing me, or because of this job I have, and they limit how much God can bless them because they're ultimately thinking it's going to come naturally. That's not how God works. Promotion does not come from the east or the west. Where does it come? From the north. From the Lord. He's the one that will bless you when you do it the right way. He'll see and He honors. So whatever good you do, you'll receive the same from the Lord. You know what this means? We like to say this a lot. I like to say it. Is you can't outgive God. You know what that means? There is nobody in this place that's ever going to write a bigger check, give a bigger offering, or tithe more consistently that is going to ultimately say, you know what, I gave God more than He returned unto me. You'll never meet a person that's done that. Because when you give and you honor the Lord with your finances, He will bless you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It's going to happen. What about praise? You can't outpraise God. This goes in line with the word that Brian gave this morning. Because the raise, the promotion, or the words of affirmation that we desire to get from people, like from a boss or just in general in this life, the Lord will give you those things when you do your job of praising Him well. When He looks at you and says, job well done, you praised me the way that I intended. You did it heartily. You didn't do it with eye service. You obeyed me in all things. You practiced it the way that I've called you to practice it. When the Lord sees that His employees do a good job, the Lord will give you a raise. He will exalt you in due time. He will bless you. And it absolutely will return under your own head. You will receive an inheritance from praising the Lord. And what I've come to learn is that this is one of the best ways to get compensated from Him. Amen. Oh, I just need to work harder. I need to do more. I need to do all this different kind of stuff. Man, it's like with praise. People think this. People think that if I get all these natural things going and I apply myself better, that somehow, some way, God's going to recognize and honor that. It's not that way. It's the anointing. And so when I do it with my heart unto the Lord comes and says, I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to anoint this person. I'm going to meet this person's need. And it will return unto you. Because why? The Lord would look at you and say, job well done, my good and faithful servant. You have praised me the right way. And because of that, whatever good you've done to me, I'm going to do it back unto you. Amen. This is what it means to be a good employee of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how you can serve the Lord in your praise life. So you and I need to learn how to do this, right? We need to figure out, how can I be more participatory in our praise services? And it goes beyond that. It's not even just during these times. Do you know what would make our praise services even better? If you would do it every other day at home when the Lord's only one watching. If you learn how to praise the Lord that way, then when we show up together like this corporately, man, it becomes awesome. And you might say out there, you say, man, I can't sing, Pastor. You know, I mean, just the Lord's not going to say to you what me and Levi say to Shannon. Please don't sing in front of us. I'm joking. The Lord's not going to say that to you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to hear your heart. He wants you to lift up your voice and praise Him. And it can be just something as simple as, man, I just do not feel it today. All hell's coming against me right now. And it is hard right now. But Lord, just like you'd say a good employee doesn't mean he can't just show up to work because he's having a tough time and I'm not going to perform my job functions. You still got to do your work. Got to do that with the Lord. Amen. Then you're like, Lord, I don't feel it. It's hard. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And I am thankful for everything that you have done for me. And all the ways you've redeemed my life from destruction, you have called me out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And therefore, you are worthy of all the glory. You are worthy of all the praise. And Lord, I start now. I know this is the way they're praising you in heaven right now. I know this is the way the rocks are crying out even right now. Everything is praising you that has been created. So since I'm the crown jewel of your creation today, I will join in with the host of heaven and with all things on the earth. And I will praise the Lord. I will say hallelujah, and I will glorify your name. I'm going to promise you something today, saints. The sickness, the poverty, the curse, all the things that have been riddling your life will break off and they will leave because the devil does not want to hang around a group of people that are praising the Lord. The worst thing you can do when you're going through tough times is to keep this mouth shut and just sit there and try to grin and bear it. Nah, lift your voice up. Lift these hands and begin to praise the Lord. And as you do so, God will bless you. He will meet you in that place and the devil will take off. Amen. He doesn't want to be around that. I listened a lot to Norval Hayes. He used to have these funny things that he would do. And Shannon and I just watch him just to laugh at him. Well, he said one time, he said, man, if you get down on your knees in your house and you start worshiping and praising the Lord, the devil that's been in your house causing all that chaos will go across the street. He'll leave the house and he'll go across the street and he'll just look at you. He ain't gonna get around that. He can't stand that. It's what gets him out of there. Amen. When you praise the Lord. So if you want cancer to leave, praise the Lord. If you want poverty to leave, praise the Lord. If you want all these mountains and all this stuff that's going on in your life to leave, praise the Lord. If you want that grief and that sorrow to leave, praise the Lord. Instead of waiting for it to happen to you, let it happen through you. By ushering in the presence of the Lord. And you can encourage yourself in the things of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came today. Amen. Glory to God. It's just encouraging. Amen. Look, and I'm not minimalizing the things that we go through. I get it. There are some tough things that we experience in life. And I sympathize with that. With losses and just struggles that we have, physical problems. But what I'm telling you today, this is gold. This is how it works. This is how you keep yourself in faith and experience what God wants you to have and get yourself back on your feet. He'll give you a raise. He'll promote you. He knows how to exalt you. Amen. And He knows how to meet you right where you're at. Praise God.